Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, are you feeling blessed today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Yeah. Are you on fire? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Are you sleepy?
No.
No, you're not, but the other people who aren't saying anything all are. Well, praise God. God is so awesome, and there is nothing greater than serving the Lord. Nothing greater than knowing that God is in the midst of your life. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that awesome? I tell you, God is a God who answers prayer. God is a God who cares. He leads and guides his people, and he enables us to overcome obstacles even when it seems like we just can't do it. God enables us. He causes things to work out for our good. And that is how we are able to overcome. That is how we are able to persevere in the work of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, and we're able to see God manifest himself in our life. Are you looking for God to do something in your life? Or to prove himself, to show himself? Well, that is what God does. All it requires of us is that we apply his word in our life. All we have to do is live according to the word of God, and you will see all the positive things of God come to fruition in your life. If we don't, then we're going to see negative things. But if we do, we will see positive things. And that is what the Christian life is really all about. And that's why we are talking about redirecting your passion, because when we redirect our passion, we're talking about the way we would put our energy and our focus on the things of this life and the things of the world. We now are using all of our gifts and our abilities to focus on the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God, fulfilling the will of God, seeing the word of God come to life among us. And it's a sad experience when you can go through your whole life as a Christian and not know that God is actually doing something in your life, not recognizing the hand of God, or not experiencing the blessings of God that the word of God says we ought to experience. And there's only one way to change your life, and that is to redirect your passions. If you do not redirect your passions, you will not have any different of a life experience than the guy down the street who has no knowledge of God whatsoever. All you'll have is information about God in your head that that person may not have, but your experience will be carnal. Your experience will be secular. It will be in the same manner as those who do not know him. But when you redirect your passions, God will then repurpose your life. He will change your life. You will have a different life experiences. You will no longer be a statistic, but you will now be someone who stands out that will cause the world to say, how did that happen? How did you do that? How is it that you're able to accomplish and do what you do? How is it that your family is the way it is in light of the world today? How is it? But you will be able to say, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. The Lord changes our lives. The Lord causes us to have a different life experience than people who don't have Christ in their life. And so today we're going to be talking about redirected passion. And I'm going to have Pastors Raphael and Michal join me up here today. Isn't that exciting? Woohoo! And we're going to talk about this quarterly theme and just share around the table today about how we can become better at being effective for the sake of the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us are charged with the Great Commission. Your job and my job is to win souls. That's what Christ called us to do. He said, go into the world and make disciples. That means cause people to want what you have to the point where they become committed to the word of God, to the ways of God. Make followers of Jesus. And that's what we should be doing. That's what our lives ought to be all about. In fact, that is what the Bible says will happen to you if you genuinely give your heart to Christ and you apply biblical principles in your life. You will not be able to keep quiet about what God is doing in your life. You will absolutely share. All right, well, here we have our lovely brethren. Hello, brothers.
Hello.
Pastors.
How are you?
And how are you?
Fantastic.
It's always good when we get to come together here. And this is going to be great. We already had our first service experience, but we've been talking about redirecting your passion, and we've been talking about coming and sitting down, what that means, and bringing your fragments. And all of these things are really tools that we have so that we can have a better life experience. Because let's face it, life is tough. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world with coronavirus, and if coronavirus doesn't get you, something else will. You know, there's always something. There's always some issue, some challenge that we're going to face. But it is through the power of God, it is through Christ that we're able to overcome the world. That's what Jesus said he did. He said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And that needs to be your reality and mine, right? That's what our reality needs to be. Today we're going to kind of talk about these three different segments, and we'll start with Pastor Raphael, who kind of was the one who spearheaded the "Come Sit Down" theme for that month. And you talk to us a little bit here. I'm going to give you this way you can do it. And
the power's in my hands.
And you can change your verses as you need to.
All right. Well, all praise right. God. Well, it is awesome whenever we have the opportunity to be able to share God's word. And with that comes a huge responsibility, that whatever it is that is ministered from here, ministered from this pulpit, has to apply in not just the lives of the congregation, but first in the lives of the people delivering that word. And that's one thing that I always ask God, whenever you give me the opportunity to be able to share that word, Lord, I pray that it would apply in my life first. And as I was going through preparing for the "Come Sit Down" portion of this and the redirecting of your passion, it brought me to Acts 9, verse 17 to 22, and it begins with, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hand on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And then in verse 18, it tells us, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized." Verse 19 says, "And he took food and was strengthened."
Hallelujah.
"Now for several days he was with disciples who were at Damascus." And, you know, as Paul was going through this process, as he was going through this rebirthing process, we see that God told him to be somewhere so that something can happen. When he got there, God did something in his life. Scales were fallen from his eyes. And then immediately, the first thing he does is he gets up, he gets food, praise God. And then when he got the food, he was strengthened. But the very next thing you read is, "For several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus."
Right.
He sat down and he now knew he needed to be spiritually fed, and he needed to sit before the throne room of God in order to continue to increase in regards to this walk that he's going on. Mm-hmm. In verse 20, it culminates in all of this. It says, "Immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" In 21, it tells us, "All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?'" And this is an example of what it should look like when we have that encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. everywhere it is that we go, people should be able to differentiate from us and the world. They should be able to tell the difference from when your old life ended and your new life began, okay? And people should be able to say, you know, wait a minute, is that Raphael? Is that Raphael who was doing this, that, the other back in the day? And, you know, as far as me, I like to speak for myself in my own experience. When I was saved, you know, God turned me. Just before I got saved, I was a drug using, alcoholic, womanizing, pack and a half of Newport smoking individual. And from one night to the other, when I had that experience with God that night, the next morning, God delivered me from alcohol. He delivered me from the drugs. He delivered me from the promiscuity. He delivered me from my viper's tongue. He delivered me from all of these things. And I know a lot of people who work in substance abuse professions. You don't walk away from those things, lest it be the power of God. Right. Especially in a 24-hour time frame. And it's not to say that, you know, God came into my life and all of a sudden I became this perfect individual. Because that's not the case at all. I still struggle. I still go through the things that I go through. One of the things that I deal with personally in my own life is pride. And when it comes to pride, I think that's one of the easiest things for people to fall over. Because the second that someone tries to give you a compliment, someone tries to praise you for your work, you know, the human response is, why, thank you. We have to remember, it was never us that did the work to begin with. It's God that did the work through you, right? The cup doesn't get praised for bringing the water, right? The thirsty person is satisfied when they sip on the water, not when they hold on to the cup.
Right.
Okay? God's the water. We are nothing more than a cup.
Right.
Okay? And as we move forward in verse 22, it says, but Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Mm-hmm. As we continue to move forward, man, the world is not going to make sense of how it is that our lives could be so different mm-hmm. from what we were doing in the past, from who we once were. But it's not a matter of, you know, oh, well, if you don't believe me, does it? No. What it is that we just need to go forward, do the work, and understand that the only way that we can increase in this strength, the only way that we can increase in this wisdom is when we come and sit down before the throne room of God and also understand that God uses the passions that we once had before him, right? Those passions that were for the enemy, he redirects those passions and uses it for the glory and the advancement of his kingdom, which is where we are today in Jesus' name.
Yeah, yeah, and if you look at that process that Saul went through, that's the same process that we all need to go through, right? We all need to get knocked off our high horse, right? We need an acknowledgement of God in our life. We need to be able to know and have a relationship. People whose lives are actually manifesting the very things you would want for you, yourself, and your own family. I remember I've shared this story before. You know, when I was growing up, I had people who were always telling me about my kids, you know. You know, and then when I would ask them about where their kids were, my kids, unless you're telling me, you know, where you went wrong. But that usually wasn't what it was. They weren't talking about where they went wrong. They were just trying to have something to say because my kids were enjoying themselves at church. And so, you know, we want to connect with the right type of people. And when you're a Christian, it's so critically important. God directed Saul to someone who could first hear their voice. They recognized the voice of God. And then with the disciples, with people who all had a genuine relationship with God and were able to help him grow and mature, help Saul grow and mature in his walk with God. And that's what we all need to happen in our lives. We need to surround ourselves with the right people so that we can be properly and rightly guided in the ways of the Lord. Because you need people who can tell you, you know, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I would handle that differently. And if you don't have people in your life who can tell you, you know, where you need to make the changes and the necessary corrections that you need to make, you're destined to live a life that will lead down the same path as the people that are around you. It goes back to my father's old saying, if you hang around dummies, you'll become a dummy, right? And, you know, you're going to become like the people you're hanging around. So when you look at the lives and the lifestyle of the people that you're friends with, that's your destiny.
Yep.
Because you ultimately are going to have that as a life experience. And so until you surround yourself with people who are having a biblical life experience that reflects the goodness of the kingdom of God, you're not going to ever have that experience because you're not in the right atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And your connections are not right.
Yeah, and you know, building off of that is the fact that when Saul, you know, went through that conversion process into Paul, right? Mm-hmm. God didn't say, "All right, now everything about who you were is gone, and I'm going to create a whole new person, right, whole new personality." God didn't say that. He just took the parts that were bad about him and cast those out. And he amplified the good parts about him. He was still passionate about his faith afterward.
Right. Right.
Just now he had the right passion, right? So when we go out into the world and we have that rebirthing process, God is going to, he changes your lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. But he helps you through the trials. We're going to be imperfect. We're going to be going through trials and tribulations in our life and still struggling. But there's a difference between people have told me in the past, and they're like, well, Jesus used prostitutes, he used taxpayers, and yeah, but when Jesus used them, they stopped prostituting.
Right.
They stopped being crooked tax collectors, right?
Right.
And I've said this before, there's no one that's going to go around saying, hey, welcome to Drug Dealers for Christ.
Right.
You know, it's right. Not, you got to change your lifestyle, because there's certain things and atmospheres, like you're saying, you can't be around people who aren't glorifying God and say that you're the one that's glorifying God in the process.
Right.
You can't be the best devil for God.
Right. Right.
It's just not the way it works.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's no there's no thieves association for Christ and all that. And you know, you can't hold on to your old ways and still say you had an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who has an encounter with God is changed. They're going to go away, and there's going to be something different about them. You may not be perfect. You may still have faults and, you know, challenges and things to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, something inside you is going to be wanting to be free of anything that's not godly.
Yep.
And that is going to be now where your passion is redirected. You're going to be moved in a whole different set of directions. And that's what God does. He uses your gifts, your talents, and the abilities because he gave them to us.
That's right.
So he's not looking to change, you know, who we are. He's changed what we are.
Mm.
And he's changed whose we are. So that's where our passion gets redirected. Now our focus is on the Lord. And that's why you have to come sit down, because now you have to learn your new identity. Well, who am I now that I'm this new person, this new creation in Christ? You will feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going to change, but you need to be groomed according to the principles of the Word of God. And when you begin to do things, that's when things begin to change. It's the doing that has to change. When you do something different, your experience will be different. God moves when you change what you do. It's not just what you believe and what you think. Satan believes. He believes in God. He believes that God is all powerful. God is all knowledgeable. He knows all of those things. He's been to God's house, the throne room, right? He's been up there. He knows all of everything there is to know about God and the kingdom of God and all that, but he's still the devil. And it's not about what you know. It's about what you do. And if you change what you do, you will have a different life experience. And that's why you have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. It's not about just knowing and understanding all of this information. And it's really all about how you apply the word of God in your life. I'll take that in. You know, and that's what leads us to bring your fragments. Because once you come to God, once you have that encounter with him, you realize how broken you are and how much help you need at changing the what you do part of your life. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep having the same results. So if you want different results, you've got to do something differently. And if you don't, you're going to end up just going around in circles in your life. And that's where, Pastor Michal, you were talking about this in your segment with the woman of the well, right? And here you can take us into that a little bit.
Yeah, no, so praise God. So I really love this whole first quarter that we did, the theme of it, and actually redirecting our passions and sitting down before the Lord and then bringing our fragments before the Lord. Because as we as Christians, as we walk this Christian walk, sometimes we can get confused as to what is a good work and what is a God work. What is a work in faith and what is a work by our own hands? And I just want to, you know, I think that as we look at these topics, it kind of starts to lead us into a better understanding and a deeper understanding of how we can differentiate between the two. So I as I was looking at this, I would do John 4:26 through 30. Lord really showed me that this is this is really almost the perfect picture of a person who is receiving salvation, right? You know, as this lady at the well was communing with Jesus, and even though she didn't know who he was, she at first she just thought he was a Jewish man, and he was someone who was belittling her by asking her for a drink. Then she, as they spoke, she started to come to the realization that he might be a prophet or a man of God, and now she's telling him, well, there is someone coming, Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us everything, right. And Jesus's answer to her is, I who speak to you am he, right? And I think everybody here that has come to a saving relationship with the Lord, if you have come to a saving relationship with the Lord, we've had to come to this experience. We've had to have Jesus visit us and say, I who speak to you am he. We didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. And Jesus came at some point in our lives and said, I who speak to you am he. And that actually impacted our lives to a level of change, as Pastor is talking about, where we're no longer just believers, or we're no longer just, it's a nice theory, but we're actually now want to, lay down everything that is our passions and our desires and our yearnings and place them at the foot of the cross for the use of the gospel message. So here, that's where she is right now. We see in 27 where it says, at this point his disciples came, right? And as they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why do you speak with her? Now here again, this is a distraction, and a timely distraction. Jesus had already sent the disciples away. Now they come back, and it's a timely distraction. And we have to realize that as we're walking with the Lord, that sometimes God will introduce distractions in our lives. And those distractions will be to build us up, to mature us, to test our ability to truly believe in the Lord, even to show us ourselves how much we truly believe in the Lord. But the enemy will also bring distractions, and we have to be able to know which is which. Are we actually falling for the lie of the enemy, or are we actually being built up by the actual leading of the Holy Spirit? And the only way we know that is by, again, we've already redirected our passions. We've already come to that place of sitting down before the Lord and allowing him to examine our hearts, to show us the areas that have been neglected, and then to actually show us how it is that we need to proceed from there. And then on 27... At this, 28, if it'll go, okay. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? So here again, she hears this, she's overwhelmed by it, the distraction comes, and she's left to kind of ponder. Now she runs off and leaves everything that she came with. She came for water, she left that behind and went running into the city and started telling everybody, look, come see a man who told me all the things I've ever done. Right? That should be us. And that most often is us when we first become saved. We get so excited. We have this new revelation. We're reading the Word. We're hungry for the Word. We're thirsting after the Word. We want to find out more and more about this Jesus that has now introduced himself to us. And we start sharing the gospel. We start telling people, come, see a man that has told me all the things I have done and has forgiven me for all the things I have done. But what we have to be careful of is that as we walk with the Lord, and as distractions come, and as you know, time passes, that we don't let that excitement become complacency, and that we now feel we have matured to our potential, and then that's where we're stuck, you know. Because here's what happens. Even when in 30 it says they went out of the city and were going and were going to him, right? So here she goes back to the city. We know that she was not her reputation was sullied in that city, if you will. She was an outcast, if you will. And as she goes back in, there's something that's different about her, something that's changed, something about how she's delivering this message, that they believe her in this city and they come out to see this man. And that will be the same for us if we're doing it from a place of actually sitting before the Lord, allowing Him to change us, allowing Him to shape us and mold us. And the bringing our fragments before God is critical in that piece. Because as we sit before God, God is going to show us all of those parts. I believe there's three pieces that as we come into a relationship with the Lord, we have to focus on. One is our is the church. Two is our personal walk. And three is our interactions with one another. In the church, sometimes we can get hurt in the church. Sometimes we want to serve in the church. We don't know exactly where. Sometimes we even feel like we are not noticed in the church, or we just come to church and leave and there's no real follow-up or whatever. But all of that, as we look at that, we have to bring those fragments before the Lord and see where it is that, number one, we have become defragmentized. Defragmented in those areas, and allow the Lord to bring all that back together and make that perfect picture, because God has a perfect picture for both you and I and how He wants to use you in the body. Whether you be an ear, an eye, a nose, whatever it may be, God wants to has a perfect plan for you, and He's got a perfect picture. And then as we bring those fragments together, God will piece those back in, and we'll be able to see that perfect picture. That prayer closet, when we sit before Him, He starts to defragment our lives. He'll show us those areas, and then we can bring them before Him, and the Holy Spirit will, just like Pastor Raphael said, He will take them from us, and we'll be able to walk anew and afresh in Him. And the same thing in our relationships. There's no relationship that you're going to have where at some point in that relationship either communication is going to break down, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get, you know, betrayed, or you're going to get let down in some way, form, or fashion. We're all just men and women. We're all susceptible to failure, and you're going to get let down. But allow the Lord once again to show you what He was using that for. More than likely, He was using that to show you something in your life, or show you something how you would be able to affect that other person's life. And it was all for the purpose of building up, growing, and maturing us. And as God brings all those fragments together, as He brings that perfect tapestry together, because God tells us that we were saved unto good works that were established beforehand. So it's not like you were saved and then God wrote out a plan for you. God had a plan for you from the very moment of conception, right? And as soon as you were born, God had a plan for you. Right? And now that plan is being realized. But as we've walked through life, as we've come through struggles in our life, as we've come through difficulties in our life, as we've taken on, you know, desires of the flesh, all these different things, that picture has become defragmented. We need to come before the Lord, place all those pieces before Him like a jigsaw puzzle, and let God put them in their right places. So that perfect tapestry, now we can see the perfect picture that God has for us, and we can pursue after that with passion. We can pursue after that knowing that God will use us powerfully in those areas. So, you know, it's an exciting place to be. It's an exciting time to realize that as we bring those fragments before God, we don't have to wonder if I'm qualified enough, or if I know enough, if I'm old enough, if I'm too young, if I've gone past my prime. None of that matters, because God can use us at any point, because it's the Holy Spirit who's going to minister through us. So praise God.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you know, it's hard to get it in your mind that God is already doing things.
Yeah.
He's already got a plan that has been in play since Genesis. You know, we're coming in. We're coming into the game here in the 21st century. You know, the 20th century into the 21st century. You know, we're now engaged in. But it's not like this is something that is just starting. No, God has already had this plan. He knew when our lives were going to intersect. He knew when we were. And He said, when these guys come in. In fact, God actually orchestrated. He says, I'm going to bring this person in. You know, any of us, we could have been born in the 1600s. We could have been born back when, you know, people were living in, you know, caves and huts and tents. But look where we are, you know. That's not by accident. It's by divine design. God has brought us into this world for such a time as this. I mean, we are the people that we all know and are interacting with, whether on our jobs, whether it's family members, whether it's neighbors, or whether it's just random people that we meet as we do whatever we do, that's not by accident. It's because God orchestrated that so that we can be a witness to them. Because ultimately, we're going to stand before God, and He's not going to ask you, were you successful at your job? Were you rich and famous? Did you, you know, have a mansion and a yacht? You know, did you, you know, succeed and all this other stuff? He's going to say, did you go into all the world and preach the gospel? And did you obey my commandments? Did you do what I called you to do? Or not? You know, did you win souls, right? Like Proverbs said, he who wins souls is wise. Did you win souls? Are you having an impact for the sake and the kingdom of God? Because that is what life's purpose is. That is what your purpose is. That is what my purpose is. You know, whether you're in kindergarten and first grade, or whether you're working, on the highest floor of some corporate building in the city somewhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where in between you are. Your mission is to go into the world and bring the gospel, is to be a witness of the kingdom of God. And in order for that to happen, you have to have a relationship with God that is going to empower you, strengthen you, enable you, so that you can use whatever your gifts and your talents and abilities are in order to accomplish that. And just like Saul and ultimately Paul and the woman at the well, there's this process. And a lot of times we look at our lives and we look at ourselves and we say, oh, I'm terrible, look at me. And we see our fragments, we see our brokenness, and we say, God can't use us. And that's not true. And that God says, that's why I can use you. Because you see your fragments, because you know your weaknesses, you know your brokenness. All you need to do is align yourself with the word of God, and all of those fragments will come together. All of those pieces come together. And, you know, so many people, they don't want to either admit their fragments. You know, they say, oh, I can do, you know, anything and everything. And, you know, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, that pride you were talking about, you know. Or, you know, they kind of have this idea that you're no better than me. So who are you to try to tell me how to make my life better? And that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong approach. We want people around us who are smarter than us, who are better than us, who can help us, accomplish greater things. We need each other for that purpose. And listen, there are things that you guys are better at than I am, and I'm glad. Thank God they're in the right place. When you get the box and you open it, everything's all over the place. But when you look at the box, you say, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like. And you look inside the box and you're like, this is a big mess. And so now, you know, you got to figure out how to put these pieces together. But that's what God is doing. God is putting the pieces together. And so all you and I have to do is just be who God has called us to be and allow Him to mold us, to make those little tweaks and adjustments so that we can be a perfect fit. And that's what God is doing. He's molding us so that we can be the right fit. And we don't want to be people who no one can tell them anything. You know, there are people who you can't tell them anything. You know, you try to help them, you try to bring correction. You know, when they make mistakes, you try to point it out, not to condemn them or to put them down, but so that they can see, hey, listen, if you just tweak that, you'll do better in life. You will have greater success in life. And if no one can speak into your life that way, then you will never grow. You're never going to mature. You're never going to be a part of anything. And that's what happens. And you see it in people's lives all the time. They church hop. They go from here to there to there to there. They're not really members of any church. They just go from church to church to church. That is an unhealthy Christian. In fact, that's not even a Christian life. That's unhealthy. That's just unhealthy religious living. And you will never grow and come to your full potential in God if you're living that way, where you're running from here to there, to there, to here, to here, to there. And then you have other people who may be a part of one church, but they keep moving to different churches because they're not, that's like they can't get enough. You know, oh, well, I'm here, but over there they have that. I'm going over there. And then you get over there and, oh, that's great. Oh, I hear there's something over there. Oh, I'm going over there and I'm going to do that. And you live this fragmented life, so you can never really grow and mature. You know, it's like trying to take classes in three different institutions in order to get one degree. You know, it doesn't happen. You have to stay where God plants you and dig in so that you can experience the fullness of God's maturing and molding and shaping in your life. And when you do that, you will see the manifestations of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't visit other places and that you can't, or watch other programs or see other things and take. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you need to be rooted and grounded somewhere, and then God can supplement your life with other experiences as you go along. But ultimately, you'll be rooted and grounded in such a way that you can, people get to know you, you get to know them, and together you're able to grow and mature with people. And I, you know, check me out on this. You look at people whose lives are fragmented. They're not members of a church. They just hop around. You will see that those people are struggling in every area of their life. Their family life is usually out of sorts. They usually have other personality issues where, you know, they're hard to get along with. People struggle to really spend any length of time with them. And there's all types of little things like this that are going on in their lives. And when you look at that, that's the fruit of a person's life. And that's not judging. I know the world likes to say that's judging. That's not judging. That's assessing. That's being able to make a determination so that you can see what the results are of a particular lifestyle or way or of living and application in a person's life. There's always fruit in a person's life. And the fruit of a person's life is based on whether or not they apply biblical principles in their life or not. People who are broke all the time, I guarantee you they're not managing their resources in a biblical way. People who have all kinds of problems getting along with people, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for all of the problems that we all have. And that is why we have to be a part of the church, so that God can help us overcome those challenges. Some of those challenges are because we grew up in families that were the same way, right? And we have the same experience. Or we surround ourselves with people who are thinkers, who think the same way. And we have to be able to recognize when people are unhealthy and say, I don't want that kind of life for me and my kids or my family. I don't want that. This is what I'm looking for. And you find people who are walking in the same way that of the fruit that you're looking to experience for yourself. And those are the people you connect with. And that is what enables you to grow and mature. And you learn. You see what other people are doing that you're not doing, so that you can be wise enough to allow the Spirit of God to mold you so that you can make the necessary changes so that you can experience the benefits of the Christian life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I really love about the woman at the well is the fact that she, like Pastor Mijo was saying, like she didn't have the best reputation from the town, right? Mm-hmm. But once she had that encounter with Christ, she didn't allow her reputation to determine what was truth.
Right.
Right? Right. And when we have... when we have that interaction, when we have that moment where we come face to face with Christ and we now know the truth, we're able to go into places and speak that truth and people will listen, right? Because the Holy Spirit is operating through you, right? And I was having this conversation with someone actually just yesterday. I grew up in the South Bronx. And when you have a certain mentality when you grow up in the South Bronx where, you know, it's the broke mentality. I don't know how to say it any other way. Because people think everything on the exterior is what matters. Everything that people have on the outside is the only place that I know where I've seen a Honda Odyssey with 26-inch chrome rims.
Right.
and because they think that's a status symbol, if you will. And I was having the conversation with someone, and I was telling them like how different life is after Christ, because now I think of my life now, and God has given us this family that we have. He's placed us in the place that where we are. We have this family here as the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. But when I go back to the Bronx and I see some of those people that I used to hang out with back in the day, and they're still exactly where I left them, on the stoop. They're stoopers.
Right.
And when they get stuck on the stoop, you got to break out of that. Right. And God is trying to get you, and it's not just in the city, right? We all sometimes get stuck on a stoop,
right?
Sure. In our life, whatever that is, whatever that problem is in your life, God is able to grab you by the hand and say, come on now, let's get off the stoop. I know it's scary to get on the sidewalk, but we'll do one step at a time. Because once you get to the sidewalk, guess what? I'm going to get you to the crosswalk. Right. And then when I get you to the crosswalk, check this. I'm going to help you cross the street. Right. And you might see something new. You might experience new things. We cannot let the societal standards that the world has for you and force you to stay there. Right? I'm a 35-year-old Puerto Rican man whose father was a police officer, and I served in the military. Right? That doesn't make me, that doesn't define me. Right. What defines me is I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Right. What defines me is that God sent his son to die on the cross for me. What defines me is that I was once on this side of the bridge, but when God built that bridge to allow me to cross it to be able to spend time in his kingdom, I say yes and amen to crossing that bridge. Right. It's scary. It's scary, but worth it once you do it.
Yeah. Sometimes it seems like a rope bridge, right?
Yeah, it really does.
And just, yeah, it's swinging. And, you know,
just to build off of that, too, that's why it's so important to come sit before the Lord and allow him to show you how your life has become fragmented.
Right.
You know, and not to ever think that you've come to a maturity level in Christ, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or even to see yourself in a certain situation in life and think, I'm in this rut and there's no getting out of it. Well, I mean, Peter is a perfect example for that, you know? If you look at Peter, he started to walk on water and fell, right? That could have been devastating for his walk, right? Then when Jesus was going to the cross, Peter said, no, that'll never happen. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Now imagine Jesus saying that those words to you. That could be devastating for your walk. Then even further, he denies Jesus three times, right? But yet in each one of those situations, he comes back for forgiveness. He continues to persevere. Right. He continues to pursue. And we know that the life of Peter, eventually God used him to raise people from the dead. Right. So don't ever think that no matter what situation you're in, that you can't bring all those fragments that life has now broken off of your tapestry and allow God to bring them all back together and refocus your vision on exactly where you need to be. And, you know, we can start that today. You can start that today. Get in your prayer closet and say, Lord, refocus my vision for where I need to be. Right. Show me my future for 2021 and beyond. Right. Show me where you want to use me in OCGF, in my personal life. What changes do you want to make in my life so I might be more effective in other people's lives and other relationships?
Right. You know, and that's the picture of overcoming the generational curse, right? We've all heard about that, right? The generational curse. A generational curse is where the same mistakes and problems and issues that your parents had or your grandparents, you are now following in those same ways. The same mistakes they made, the same mindset, the same approach to life that they had in the different areas of our lives, we're doing the same way. We're doing the same thing. And that curse is passed on in that we're going to have the same type of experiences that they had. And that's what's wrong with the world today, is that we're passing along the sins of the previous generations. And it's just continually to spiral downward, and things are getting worse and worse and worse. And we have the power to change that by coming and sitting down before the Lord so he can show us what we need to change. And then it causes us to redirect our passion so that we're now redirecting the same energy and giftings and abilities that we had before, only now towards a different goal, towards a new end. And that's where we become repurposed, because now everything has shifted. Everything has shifted. Everything changes. And, you know, we can all look back at our parents' life, our upbringing as children, and we can think about things that could have been better, ways that we would have liked to seen played out, or things played out differently, or had a different experience. Well, that's where you have to redirect your passion. And you're not going to succeed at that unless you surround yourself in an environment that is conducive to making those things better. Otherwise, you're going to default back to those same old ways because you're in the same environment. And that's why change is so important in our lives. And the only way to bring about change is by being in the right atmosphere, in the right place, being around people who are moving in the same direction. And that's where the church comes in. That's where choosing your Christian friends wisely comes in, so that you can have a godly life experience. And God wants us all to be repurposed. That is his plan. In Acts 15, we see Paul, verse 36 says, you know, after he had this whole experience, he was discipled by the disciples, he spent time with the Lord, all of these things that he experienced. And now he comes to the point where he's going out in ministry on his this is now his second ministry journey. His first ministry journey, he had a bad experience with John Mark. You all know John Mark. He wrote the book of Mark. And John Mark was not always a mighty man of God that had all power and authority. He started out like a lot of us, timid and afraid, you know, feeling like inadequate and not like we couldn't do it. And so here's Paul in verse 36 arguing with Barnabas, and he essentially wants to go and retrace his steps to minister to all the people that he had ministered to in his first ministry journey, to build them up and encourage them. And that is something that we all ought to be doing. You and I have relationships with people, we have shared Christ with people, and we should follow up with them, check in on them, and see how they're doing, and make sure that they're okay. And every once in a while, we are getting a question, you know, are we calling people? How are we following up with people? And our church is all about follow-up. That is what all of our ministries do. And sometimes people don't realize how much follow-up we actually do. And because they're not aware of it, you know, they think that it's a point of contention. But that's not really something that we take lightly. We watch over one another. We look out for one another. But the reality is, not everybody wants to be watched over. Not everybody wants to be followed up on. And you know, and some people strategically place themselves in a position where they're just out of reach. And they do that on purpose. And there's not much you can really do with those types of people, except pray that God would move on their hearts and give them a revelation of how they need to change, so that they can come under the covering and have a different life experience. And so Paul is wanting to go on this journey, and Barnabas now wants to take John Mark with him. And so he says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And so here they want to go about this process, but that was a great idea. But then Barnabas says, "Hey, why don't we take my cousin along with me?" And so Paul is like, "What? Are you kidding? John Mark? No way am I taking that guy. He bailed on us last time. We started going, and what happened, the story is, I'm sure you know, is that they went on Paul's first missionary journey. John Mark was to go along with them. They started out doing well. They were evangelizing because it was John Mark's home territory. There were people he knew. It was his hometown, and he did well. But once they got outside of that area, started going into foreign cities, then fear started to grip him. John Mark got really scared. He was afraid of doing street evangelism and going in places where he didn't know people, he didn't feel safe. And we feel the same way. Many of us, we find ourselves intimidated by going out and sharing the gospel. You know, the Breach group is going out to Middletown with lamps burning, and, you know, and people are going out sharing. People are intimidated. Not everybody, you know, has the ability to overcome that fear. And so they struggle to overcome it. And John Mark was one of those kinds of people. He struggled with that. And so he ran home to his mama, right? He gets going and he runs. His mother lived in Jerusalem. He took off and he didn't, he just disappeared. He was like AWOL. He was gone. And so here's Paul. He is a licensed bounty hunter to go after Christians. He's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of anyone. And so you do that to him, and he is like, what? Are you serious right now? This guy is gone. Where is he? Left us? Are you kidding me? I'm not having anything to do with this guy again. He dumped him. He was like, I'm done. And so now his cousin Barnabas is saying, hey, let's take John Mark. Paul's like, yeah, you're out of your mind. You remember last time? You remember what happened with this guy? And so Paul was insisting that they would not take him in verse 38 here along because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and he didn't go with them to complete the work. And I tell you, there is nothing more frustrating than trying to work with people who are unreliable, who you don't know whether they're going to show up or not, whether they're going to follow through and actually do what they say they're going to do. It's not like, you know, you're asking them to do things that they can't do. They say, I'll do it, I'm willing. And you say, okay, great, go for it. And then they bail on you. You know, I too would be like Paul. I would be like, next time, done. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, stickers, the works. Not happening. And I would be like Paul. But, you know, sometimes you have to give people a chance. And that's the other side of the coin. Paul wasn't exactly right here. He was wrong. He should have given John Mark another chance because time went by. You know, time has the ability to heal and give people to the ability to learn and grow and mature. And so when time goes by, you know, we have to give people a chance. We have to be able to allow people to grow in their walk with God and mature in their ways so that that change can happen. When you go through time, you know, you have different experiences that cause you to see life from a different perspective. You start to think differently because your life experiences are leading you in the way that will help you to grow. And as long as you're in a right atmosphere with the right people, you can grow from your past mistakes. You can grow from the hardships and difficulties that you face. Hopefully you will, and that you're not holding on to a mentality that's gonna be unhealthy for you in the long run. And so Barnabas was trying to explain to Paul that John Mark had changed, that he's not the same man. Give him another chance. And so when we get to verse 40 here, it says Paul is so emphatic on not taking him, he decides, I'm taking Silas instead. So Paul takes Silas and he leaves. And so he wanted to visit the brethren. He wanted to do the follow-up. He was committed to the brethren, it says here in verse 40, to the grace of the Lord. And it says he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And that is really what we all ought to be doing. We ought to be strengthening one another, encouraging each other. And God will lead us in our life's journey along the way of life to give us opportunity to win souls and then strengthen brethren. And we'll be able to build one another up and encourage each other along the way. In Colossians 4:10, and we see that Aristarchus, the fellow servant of Paul and fellow prisoner, sends his greetings, he says, and also Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. You see the change? Paul had time to heal himself now. Now, after a couple of years, now Paul has been transformed. God is molding him. God is changing him. Grace is now operating more in his life, and now he sees the value in Barnabas' cousin Mark. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:11, he's telling Timothy, yet another person, he says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. You see that? People can change. God can transform anyone. We can all be repurposed in God. And it's a process that we go through. If you just give people time, sometimes it's just not the right timing. It's just not their time yet. Let them mature. Let them grow in their walk with God. Let them spend more time sitting before the Lord. You know, let them spend more time around other mature, godly Christians who are able to speak into their life. And as long as you're that kind of person, you will see change. You know, otherwise you won't. You're going to be spending 5-10 years. You see people with the same issues, same problem over and over and over and over again, year after year after year. There's something wrong with their relationship with God and their walk. Either they're not sitting before the Lord, and when you sit before the Lord, that's two ways. If you remember from this the series back in January, it's both talking and engaging in the conversation and listening and applying the advice that you learn and that you hear. So it's an exchange. You're both sharing your life and your heart and your understanding, and you're receiving from others who are doing the same thing. And when you have that exchange, as you sit before God, God brings revelation. God will bring revelation into your life. If you try to be the Lone Ranger and all you've got is a Tonto along with you, then you're gonna find yourself roaming around, you know, just randomly doing stuff on your own. And you're never gonna change. You're not gonna see the manifestations of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Lone Ranger and Tonto. I like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. One of my favorite shows from back in the old days, right? I mean, you know, but you don't want to live your life like that. You don't want to live your life like an eagle soaring all alone. You might want the skills of the eagle, but you don't want to live all alone in solace, in solitude, all by yourself. You want to be up like the sheep, right? That's why God says we're like sheep. He doesn't say we're like these other animals. He says we're like sheep. And sheep need to be cultivated under a shepherd. And we need each other. We need to abide in, and you know, with one another. We need to grow and walk in our lives through life together. And God sustains us. He keeps us so that we can grow and overcome the obstacles that ultimately come our way. And that's why we're being repurposed. He's not trying to rob you of your skills and your abilities. I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be somebody else. Don't try to make me into something that I'm not or somebody that I'm not. You know, these are the kind of things that people who lack understanding will say. That's not what God is doing. God is enhancing who you are. He is taking who you are and all of your skills and your abilities, and he is refining them and repurposing them for the sake of the kingdom of God. So you can be more effective. You will have a better chance at hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. We all want to go to heaven, but it takes some transformation to get there. It takes a repurposing by God to get there. God has to renew our minds as we surrender our hearts and our lives, and he empowers us and strengthens us by the Holy Spirit so that we can recognize the word of the Lord, the will of God, the ways of God, so that the manifestations of God can take place in our lives. And he wants to transform us like I had this drum set here made from wine barrels. You know, that is cool, right? You know, we have a old wine barrels. Maybe your life is stinky and stale and fermented, but God can still use you to make beautiful music in the world. He can still use you to cause other people's lives to experience the presence of God. And you can be used in ways that you would never even expect to be used, because your past does not define you. Your past is there to help refine you so that you can be repurposed for the sake and the cause of the kingdom of God. Or maybe you want to be like this bicycle who as it became old in age, now it's been repurposed for something beautiful, holding up a vanity. Now it's being used to help people clean up their lives. Now God can use you to bring change and transformation, and where the filthiness and the dirtiness of life that gets on people, we're able to help each other come clean before the Lord, become honest before God, to see the necessary things that we need to see so that God's glory can be manifested in our life. This is what God is trying to do in our lives. He wants to use us. He wants to enable us. He wants to repurpose us. But it requires us to redirect our passion. I pray that your redirected passion is one that brings about a repurposing of God, that you are able to experience God in your daily life, that you will be able to see that God can cause you to prevail beyond the times. I pray that the glory of the Lord would be with you, and that you would see and know the manifestations of God as you redirect your passion, that God is repurposing you, and that your old ways are passing away. Behold, everything is becoming new. You are not the same person you used to be, but you have been reborn in the ways of God, in the purposes of God, according to the plan of God. His will is being accomplished in your life. He is doing a new thing in your life, and He is causing you to experience a life of purpose, divine purpose, where the glory of the Lord will be lifted up and exalted among you, and you will see the manifestations of God in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, join me as we sing this song. Hallelujah. Well, we didn't have to stop it, but hey, nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. No matter what your situation is or your circumstances are, you don't have to continue the way your past has dictated. All you need to do is allow God to redirect your passion. When you redirect your passion, you will see, you will experience the power of God. It's what God does. He changes hearts. He changes lives. You might be like the woman at the well, living your life the way you're just dealing with it as it comes. But you don't have to stay that way. You can become a powerful witness for the sake of the kingdom of God. And you might be like Saul. You have a zeal and you have a goal in mind. You're persevering, looking to accomplish great things in life. But I can tell you that not every good thing is of God. Sometimes it's not for you to do. God has a better plan and a better purpose for your life. And when we surrender to Him, He will transform us. He will change our trajectory. He will cause us to see things in a different light, in a different way. He will allow the scales to fall from our eyes and guide us into a place where we're surrounded by other people who can help us grow and mature in our walk with God, so that we would be able to see the manifestations of God. And then He will enable us to see that we are in need of change and transformation ourselves, so that we can be a help to someone else, and that God has brought people into our lives to help us, to enable us. And sometimes the timing isn't right, but God says if you just wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength, and He will enable you to overcome every obstacle and every challenge that comes your way if you have patience to wait on God. Give others a chance. God has people in your life that you should be ministering to. You should be cultivating and encouraging. You should be leading in the way of the Lord. But maybe they frustrate you. Maybe they annoy you. Maybe they drive you crazy. But if you just pray for them, if you just intercede in their behalf, if you just wait on the Lord, God will do a work in their life and in yours. And you will eventually come to a place where God can use you to impact the world. No matter who you come in contact with, you will be able to allow God to mold you and shape you into the right piece to fit where you need to be so that the kingdom of God can be advanced, so that the picture of the kingdom of God can be made complete for the people God wants you to reveal it to. And so I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would enable us, God, to be repurposed by your Spirit and by your Word. Use us for your own glory. Be lifted up and exalted in our lives. Help us, oh God, to be the people you've called us to be. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may have the power to accomplish your will and to represent you and your kingdom in this earth, in this world, during this 21st century. God, we lift up your name and we give you all the glory and all the praise, and we are here to yield to you that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, as all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. He is unstoppable. Come on. Unstoppable.